All right, now that we're hooked up for our live streaming, we're going to get started. All right, it's good to see everybody here. We're going to have some announcements later. There's going to be some sad announcements. There's going to be some happy announcements. So we'll bring those up later. But we're glad to see everybody that's here. And we're going to look at this lesson. Why do you wait? I mean, let's face it. We've all been around in the church long enough. We've heard this invitation song quite a bit. Why do we wait? Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? And so we're going to kind of look at this, and the question is important because getting right with God is not something to be put off for a later time. And you might think, well, that really doesn't apply to this audience because we've all obeyed the gospel. We've all been baptized into Christ. But folks, it does apply to us. And so we're going to see how. We're going to notice these things. And so in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, Paul declared that today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. That's written there in the epistle to the Corinthians. And who were the Corinthians? They were members of the church. And so he's telling them today is the day to get right with God. And we had a lesson about 7 or 8 months ago. Is today is the most important day of your life. And that means today you have the opportunity to get right with God and stay right with God. And so that's why it's important to pay attention to this. Now the quotation Paul was speaking comes from a passage in Isaiah 49 and verse 8. And back in Isaiah's day, the Israelites were not serving God faithfully. Yeah, they were his people, but they were not serving God faithfully. And that's a problem we have in the church today. Many people in the church, but a lot of them are not serving God faithfully. And it's really sad. And it's hard to say that about your brethren. And you want to just think, well, if their name is on the membership roll of the local Church of Christ, well, they're okay with God and we're okay with them. But as we've seen, as we study, as we learn, we find out they believe different doctrines. They practice different things. They practice things that are not found in the scriptures. And so we have to try and, if we can have some sort of a relationship and talk to them and keep that line of communication open, explain to them the way of God more perfectly. Just like Priscilla and Aquila did. They had to explain to Apollos the way of God more perfectly because he was kind of missing a few facts. He was an eloquent speaker, but he was missing a few facts. And so they enlightened him. And so we find we have to do that with some of our brethren. And then their true colors really come out because if they don't want to change, they're not. And so then we have to either mark them from ourselves or sometimes maybe let others know this is what they're doing. See, Isaiah warned them to not delay in returning to God. And we should never do that. We should never put it off because we run out of time. And the same message is true today, whether we're talking to people who are not Christians, I mean, encouraging them to become Christians. I mean, that's definitely something we can encourage them to do. But we also have to be mindful of the fact that some of our members are not as faithful and strong as they should be. And sometimes they don't know it. And so but we also realize that if you tell them something, they're liable to get all upset with you. And people take it personally. And so, yeah, we need the wisdom to say the right words. And God gives us that wisdom, as we read there in James 1 and verse 5. And so, I'm sure a lot of people have the intention to get right with God and to benefit from his grace before they run out of time. See, that's the problem with a lot of people. They're having too much fun right now. They don't want to give up their sins. They don't want to give up what they're doing. But they know the only way to get to heaven is be right with God. So they're going to try and time it so that they can have all their fun. And then they'll get right with God before their time is over. I mean, a lot of people have that intention. And they go through life with that intention. And the sad thing is, they never come back to God. They never come to God. Even though they're thinking all these, oh yeah, I'll get right with God someday. And that's what they say. Their plan is to do it someday. Folks, we're not promised of tomorrow. We know that. And the problem is they wait for different reasons. And it's not all the same reason. They have different reasons for doing so. And we're going to examine some of those reasons they use to put off obeying the gospel. See, we know that some people feel like they must get their life right before they obey the gospel. Well, newsflash, none of us are perfect. I mean, we know that. None of us are perfect. So if you're trying to think you have to develop your life into becoming a goody two-shoes before you can obey the gospel, then that you're looking at that at the wrong way. You need to come to Christ so you can get your life right. And that is a problem that for us as Christians. Because when we're out and intermingling with people in this world, who do we look for to share the gospel with? We look for those goody two-shoes, don't we? I mean, that's basically, they have their life straightened up. They're a nice person. They're kind to others. They would be a good candidate. I mean, we see somebody walking by, maybe a person wearing a biker jacket and has tattoos all over their body, long hair and beard and all that. Oh, no, they wouldn't be interested. And we make that determination on our own without ever meeting the guy. And I like that meme that's on Facebook where these people are sitting here on this bench. This great big old biker dude sitting there reading the Bible. And others say, oh, he thinks he's a Christian and stuff like that, making all these snide little comments. And he's sitting there, Lord, forgive me. it makes a very strong point. And so it's not our place to sit down and look at people and examine them. Okay, they might be a good candidate. I'll go share with them. The sower didn't do that. Matthew 13, Luke chapter 8. The sower didn't do that. Sower went out, sowed seed everywhere. See, none of us are perfect. I mean, yeah, we all make mistakes. And even after we become Christians, we're not perfect, even though that's where we should be trying to achieve, as we spoke in the first Sunday this month. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. I mean, that's what we should be trying for. And if we wait until we are perfect, we'll never get there. I mean, that's true. I mean, that's just the point we made in our sermon that time. If we're waiting till we're perfect, we'll never get there. See, we're going to serve God and obey God, even as imperfect as we are. We must know that if we make the effort to serve God, God is going to accept us. He that does the works of righteousness, he that is faithful to God and prays to God, this is the type of person God is going to listen to, and God is going to help them and to do those things. And sure, we must learn to grow and mature in our faith. And God allows time for that to happen. But we shouldn't put it off. Some people, basically, were baptized 40 years ago. They couldn't even tell you who the characters in the Bible are. They can't tell you God's plan of salvation, not alone. Explain it to someone who needs it. I mean, there's some people who are, many who are biblically illiterate, even though they've been in the church many years. And that is a real shame. And that's one of the things we've noticed. I've noticed in my lifetime, many years ago, when I was a young child, the reputation of the Church of Christ was everybody knew their Bible, frontwards and backwards, what was in it, what it was all about. Everybody, every member did. Can we say that today? No, we cannot. And that's why we're having so much difficulty trying to recruit people into the church by bringing them to Christ, because they see us as making just as much effort as all the other groups out there who aren't even trying. 2 Peter 3:18, we have a command. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Like I said, and I've said many times, most people treat this as nothing more than just a suggestion. They don't look at it as a command to grow in grace and knowledge. How are you going to grow in that knowledge? You're going to have to study. You're going to have to learn. And they really don't think they need to do that. So they need to get right with God. The only way they're going to get right with God is coming to an understanding of His will and what He wants from us. And so though we are human and we have flaws, the goal of every Christian is to be perfect, just like Jesus was perfect. See, we should at least be trying, because Jesus and His apostles commanded it. You know, Matthew 5:48, therefore be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And then we go to 2 Corinthians 13:11. It says, finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. In this case, the word complete means, is translated as perfect in the King James Version. And so that's what he does. In Ephesians 4:13, till we all attain that unity, that to be in Christ and have the measure and stature of Christ. I mean, that's what Ephesians 4:13, we're all to develop ourselves to that maturity level. In Colossians 4:12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. And so that's what he wants from us. James 1:4, let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So perfect and complete, that's what Bible perfection means. Get to the point where we're complete, we don't need anything. But the more we study God's Word, we find out we don't know it all. So that's the thing we have to deal with. I mean, we can learn a lot, but we don't know everything. And there's still room to learn. And we should be trying that as much as we can. Now, we can go and talk about another reason people don't do it. Some people cannot let go of their previous lifestyle. And I'm not even suggesting the lifestyle maybe as in some communities in our cities here. I'm not talking about that kind of lifestyle. It's just the way people have lived their whole life. They just don't want to give it up. And whether they're doing something which God calls an abomination or whatever, they're just not going to give it up. A lot of people despise change. All they want, it's okay for other people to change. They want the government to change. They want the society to change. They want everything to change, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And so they're not willing to give that up. And even in the workplace, I mean, whenever something came along, said, we need to change to stay in business. Well, change was always met with resistance. I mean, we've always done it this way. Well, why should we do a different way? Well, because there are better ways of doing it. I mean, when computers came in, a lot of people, I don't want to touch that thing. I might punch the wrong button or something. And they were afraid of computers. And nowadays, in most businesses, you better know that what this computer does and how it works and how to use it. And so, I mean, if companies that stay in business learn to adapt to the technology and things that are necessary. But some people cannot let go of their lifestyle. They don't want to give it up. Maybe because they have too many friends. They're afraid that they might become an outcast of their normal circle of friends. Well, I'm not that way anymore. And you start telling your friends, well, I've given up drinking. I've given up cursing. I've given up this or that. And I'm just not going to do that anymore. They're going to kind of, what's wrong with you? I mean, you know that. And some of us have seen that take place. And so it's going to start causing problems. Somehow they're going to do a little investigation. Oh, you became a Christian. well, let's see how serious you are about being a true Christian. And then they're going to start, here, have a beer. Here, do this. Telling jokes in their presence and things like that. I mean, there's going to be problems because of that. And true Christians learn that they can gain new friends when they obey the gospel and are added to the Lord's body. That's one thing that we really need to recognize. When we become a Christian and added to the Lord's body, we gain a whole new family. And we treat each other as a family. At least congregations that are united in spirit, they treat each other like family. Yeah, sadly, there's some groups out there that don't. And God's not pleased with that. But we treat each other like family. And we can rely on family. And a lot of people in this room have told me that this church family is a lot closer than their physical family. I can say the same thing. I've got a brother somewhere. I don't know if he's even still alive. I mean, he's out there somewhere. He didn't want anything to do with me, so... But guess what? I've got a family, and it's right here. And so that's what happens. We gain that new family. We have a relationship because we have things in common that we agree with. We work together. And so these new friends, they have an interest in our soul, whereas the former friends could care less about your soul or their soul or the soul of anyone else. I mean, I've always put that challenge out there. You have a bunch of friends. Do they care about your soul? Do they want to assist you in getting to heaven? And a major percentage really don't even care. And really, if you start talking about spiritual matters, what are they going to do? They're going to depart from you. They're going to get away from you. They don't want anything to do with you. And you'll find that out. See, and what those past friends will do are those things that God would not be pleased with. And you want to hang around these friends, that here they are using that bad language. I mean, get partying and doing things that God's not pleased with. And they kind of, if you're going to join with that group, they kind of expect you. There's an expectation that you're going to fit in with them. I mean, it's just like any culture. If you're in a particular culture, they expect everyone to fit into that culture. Anyone who doesn't is someone to be marked, an outcast, made fun of, or even beat up, or in some cultures, killed. So, yeah, your friends will do that. But true friends, you're from your church family, they won't do that because they care about your soul. They care about your soul, hopefully so much that if you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, they will bring it up to your attention and say, you know what? You need to correct your behavior. You need to do that. And so that's what we see. See, some people may be thinking about this, but something gets in the way, like an illness sets in or they get hurt in an accident and their plans get laid aside. I've seen it happen. People were considering, they were thinking about it. I really ought to become a Christian. Then all of a sudden a disease sets in and they never get the chance. I mean, that happens. And so, I mean, it's sad to recognize that. Some who get sick find that the illness is fatal and they never get well enough to do what is necessary to become saved. I mean, they might know what they've been taught, what they need to do. Well, I need to, but I don't feel good today. I don't feel good tomorrow. And their condition is going to take them worse and worse. They're never going to feel up to it. And so they become lost in that way. Some people are thinking about it, are killed, accident or something happens, and they never have the opportunity to obey. And so, like I said earlier, I mean, we're just not talking about those who are outside of Christ. We're talking about a lot of people who are inside of Christ, who haven't got their lives right with God in the way that God wants us to be. And so we consider those things. Some people just cannot shake bad habits. Yeah, I mean, depends on what you might call a bad habit. You know, some people have a problem with smoking. Some people have a problem with drugs, alcohol. Sometimes they don't want to give that up, even though they know that, well, I shouldn't be doing this, but I don't want to do that. But some people are just have bad attitudes, and that they made that a habit. And sometimes they're sour towards others. I mean, you know people who we call a sourpuss. I mean, there's people out there, grumpy people all the time, always complaining about this or that. We know there's people like that. And those habits, for some, they just don't go away. They obey the gospel, start going to church, but they're still despise their neighbor over there because their neighbor did something 14 years ago. I mean, so they do things like that. And they're not able to shake these things. And see, when we give ourselves to Christ, we've got to give ourselves wholly to Him. We've got to take that old person and put it away, like we read there in Colossians chapter 3. Put off the old man, put on the new. I mean, we're told when we're baptized, we're baptized into Christ, we're raised to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, they are a new creature. There's got to be a transformation that takes place. Romans 12 and verse 2. A transformation. That means habits go away. Should not be doing those things anymore. See, people get involved, like I said, in drugs or alcohol. Some people can shake those things. Some of our members used to do those things, but they put a stop to it. They changed their life, and they're much better people now than they were back then, that's for sure. And some get involved in sexual activity that God considers abominable. And what is that? Any sex outside of a lawful marriage is sexual activity God is not pleased with. And so God considers that abominable. And some people don't want to give up their habits. And some do things that may not be, quote, as bad as other things, but they still interfere with serving God as they should. Is there anything wrong with going to a ball game? No, nothing wrong with going to a ball game. Is there anything wrong with going to a ball game on Sunday that causes you to miss services? Yes, that is definitely wrong. You should not let the things of this world keep you from performing your service to God. And sadly, a lot of people allow that to happen. They allow other things to get in the way. They allow their families to take rule over them and keep them from serving God when they know they should be there or doing something for God. And that's a problem that we have to face with. So whatever the reason people use to put off their obedience, it is dangerous to their soul. And like I said, sometimes they've deluded themselves and think, well, I'm okay, I'll be all right. Or delude themselves thinking, I've got time, I'll get there one of these days. See, none are promised that there will be another day. Amen. We're not even promised that. I mean, our life is but a vapor, and then the Lord will come at any time when we least expect it, when we don't know not. God's the only one who knows when that time is going to be. And so circumstances may prevent one from the opportunity to obey. We always have to realize things happen. Things happen. Sometimes they happen for a reason, but things always happen. And for a lot of people, those things just get in the way and prevent them from doing what they know they should be doing. And that's not right. See, their soul is at stake. And waiting is not good. It's not good at all to wait, to hopefully you'll get a chance someday to get right with God. No. That's never the right way to do it. What we need to be doing, get right with God today, stay right with God today, tomorrow, and every day. That's how we're going to get to heaven. But if you think that you can just go on, live your life the way you want to, and then maybe towards the end you can get right with God, you're taking a chance that really God would call very foolish. Too many wait and never get the chance to obey the gospel and become a Christian. Too many wait, never get the chance to come back to God like they should. And that their failure to be a Christian. So these things happen. So do not wait. The time when you are able to do something right is quickly passing away. And like we said, quoting from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, today is that day. Today is the day you have to get right with God and change your life. See, failure to act now could mean the difference of going to heaven or ending up in hell. So obviously, if you never obey the gospel, your destiny in hell is certain. No doubt about that. And we should be concerned with people's souls to be able to at least warn them. If they choose to wait, if they choose to put it off, well, that's on them. But our duty is to try and help people get to heaven. And we can warn them, we can tell them about it, and if they just refuse to listen, well, that's on them. But folks, if we don't tell them, if we don't warn them, that is on us. And God's going to hold us accountable for that. We may go to church the rest of our life. We may never utter a curse word. We may never take a drink of alcohol. We may never do any bad thing at all. But if we don't tell others about Jesus, we're going to be joining those people in a fiery torment. See, Jesus is waiting with open arms for you, for everyone. And so why not come to him now? And since we've all obeyed the gospel, I mean, so we don't have to worry about being baptized again. But some of us have not been living as strong and faithful as we should. We haven't been taking to heart what God says in his word and applying those things to our lives. So why not come to him now? Get right. Learn what you must do to be saved. And we've already done that, but to stay saved. I mean, there's a lot more. I mean, what we're told to do to become saved, there's five little steps right there. When you get past that fifth step, you've got 1,000 commands that you got to start putting into your life and putting into application. There's a lot more there. And of course, we have a lifetime to do it, but how long are we going to live? We don't know. Some of us, we can look around, well, I'm quite up there in age, so I may not be around that much longer. Some of us might have health problems. We wonder how long we're going to be around. But folks, our time is going to run out. And every day we live, it gets us one day closer to that end. So, as we would tell people that need to obey the gospel, believe on Jesus as Lord and him being the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins. And we need to keep that in our memory and realize what he did for us. Because if we forget what he did for us, we're not going to pay attention to anything he says. I mean, that's just so obvious. And yeah, repent of your past life and change to be pleasing to God. And that past life could have been just an hour ago. That past life could be exactly right now. You need to change that. Get right with God. And confess the name of Jesus publicly and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Yeah, I mean, we confess the name of Jesus every day. When we acknowledge to the world, I'm a Christian. We're confessing Christ. And then we've been baptized for remission of our sins, and then we got our work cut out for us. We have to grow to live a faithful life. That's what God wants from us. He wants that faithful life, a faithful life that will demonstrate Jesus and Christ in our lives, demonstrate the attributes of God in our lives, to demonstrate to the world that there is a way, a better way than what this world is going through right now. That's what he wants from us. And folks, that is our duty. If we fail to do that, we are failing God. So consider those thoughts. We always sing an invitation song that if we need to get right with God, we offer you that to where we can pray for you, and we'll assist you there, go through studies or whatever we need to do. But whatever your need might be, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.